The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Thank you very much. I've appreciated very much what has gone before. I couldn't enjoy it like I'd like to have, knowing I was going to have to follow. And as I stand before you this morning, I do so, first of all, wanting to thank you for your prayers for me and mine, who have of late had some struggles, health struggles, and yet we have come through that in a special way and by God's divine providence in a wonderful way. He is blessed and continues to bless. And I was like one of the brothers that talked about had two messages on his mind. You know, Brother Wayne's supposed to preach the introductory sermon to the Mud Creek Association one year, and I had two subjects on my mind. And I said, "All right, Lord, which one do you want?" And he said he didn't want neither one of them. So and it was very evident very quickly. I had another subject on my mind, but I'm going to deviate from what these brethren have begun this morning. Dr. Graham, who passed away, and let me just say this, I think he was a great man in many ways, great moral man, and in many ways a great teacher. We differed fundamentally. But he wrote a book one time, and I've still got it in my possession. If you want it, I'll give it to you. How to Be Born Again. Some of you may remember that. I've got it. I'll give it to you. If you want it, don't do me any good to read it. I've tried it. One of the most fundamental questions of religion today is how to be born again. Let me first affirm to you that the new birth is not a progressive work. It is an immediate work. When the Lord spoke to Nicodemus in St. John chapter 3 and verse 3, and said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The word "see" means experience. If you doubt that, read the first verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch did not see death. He didn't experience death. Simeon would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, experienced that. So it is a settled fact that the Lord taught Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he will not experience the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. But the kingdom of God is within you. You see. Now, we have struggles. Our brother taught us that in a very able way. We have struggles. We have troubles. You know, most of the time, though, most of our troubles, we're the biggest part of our trouble. We're the biggest part of our trouble. I remember my granddad said one time that my granddad was a sawmiller and a ginner. He had the gin, the sawmill, and there's a man worked for him at the sawmill, and his name was Seeb Seibert. And I hadn't thought about it in years, but Seeb came to granddad one day. Nobody could get along with Seeb. He was a good sawyer, but nobody could get along with him. Came to my granddad one day and said, "Mr. Ed," said, I'm quitting and said, I'm moving to a lot better community. I'll be in a lot better community next week. And Papa said, well, see, I will be too. He said, are you leaving? He said, no, I'm staying. Now, if you have to pray over that a minute, you got a real thick skull. Seed was the trouble. And I want you to understand today, the very best that you can do, the very best that you may have to offer, it is not enough for the Lord to take attention toward you. And you know, when the Bible tells me, and I'll borrow some scripture from these young men again. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. No question to be asked, no argument to be made. The words that I speak unto you, not the words the preacher speaks, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Men tell me all the time, where no gospel is preached, no salvation is procured. Brother, I've got a better story for you than that. And that is this, that it does not take the gospel as a means to bring about the new birth. That quickening process come solely and wholly by the immediate work of the Holy Spirit in the form of a quickening power with the efficacy to bring about a designed end. You know, in 1890, Congress authorized a celebration of Columbus discovering America, the 400th anniversary of Columbus discovering America. The World's Fair was in Chicago, Illinois at the time. In 1892, they commissioned a committee to make all the preparations. There was a man named Daniel H. Burnham, who was the head architect of what is called, as we know it today, the Ferris wheel. Now, you know how you spell that? F-E-R-R-I-S. In DeKalb County, we spell it F-A-R-R-I-S, Ferris wheel. I went by place the other day, and somebody had some firewood for sale, and you know how they spelled it? Farwood, F-A-R-W-O-O-D. I'll send you a picture of it if you don't believe that. Daniel H. Burnham was the architect. The axle of the Ferris wheel that was at the World's Fair in 1892 weighed 89,000 pounds. Just the axle. One part of it was built somewhere else. Part of it was built in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, at Bethlehem Steel in Pennsylvania. Part of it was built in Germany. Part of it was built all over the world. But I want to tell you one thing. When it all got to Chicago, every part fit. Now, you know why it fit? Because one mind designed it. And I want to tell you something today, my friend. From beginning to end, in the work of salvation, every part fits together. Why? Because one mind designed it. One mind designed it. And I affirm to you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he made that real physical appearance, as they were talking about, let me tell you, he had a lot of names. In the Old Testament, he is called Emmanuel. In the New Testament, he is called the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He had a lot of names beside Jesus, but he is the only man that could wear the name Word of God in reality. The only man that could wear the name Word of God in reality. And I'll tell you this, when this Word, and let me just say this, lest I forget it, that when our Lord Jesus Christ made that real physical appearance here in this world, he never surrendered his oneness with the Father. I and my Father are one. Time and time again, I and my Father are one. Now, I want you to understand that without any question. But not only that, when he went back to heaven, he never surrendered his humanity. There is a man in heaven right now that can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. There's a man in heaven today that can hear your prayer. There is a man in heaven today, when you hurt, he hurts. There is a man in heaven today that knows your afflictions, knows your struggles, and knows everything about you that has ever happened, ever happening now, or ever will happen. He understands you in the deepest way. I tell you today that when you and I can come to the house of God and sit under the influence of the sound of the preaching of the gospel, there's something about that today, bless your heart, that gives me the wonderful ability to press toward the mark and the prize and the high calling of Christ Jesus. It gives me encouragement to understand that I have the authority to become the Son of God, not in an eternal sense, but in a manifest sense. Amen? Amen. That's what he's saying there. For as many as received him, to them gave he power. To them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. Not in an eternal sense. I want to tell you right now, you're not going to have to wait till you get to heaven to become a son of God. You're a son of God right now. I want to tell you right now, in a manifest sense, the quickening power of the Son of God gives us the ability to receive he who has called us out of darkness into light. You see, that doesn't make you a child of God. That's evidence you are a child of God. You see, that's what he's talking about. Now, Paul said in that very familiar old Baptist gopher hole, and you listen to it now. He said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened. You. And you hath he quickened who were dead. You're not dead anymore. You were dead. After the quickening. Who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Who walked according to the prince of the power of the air. So you know they weren't physically dead. They were dead in trespasses and in sin, because these who were dead walked. Their conversation was likewise. Their conversation was like the prince of the power of the air. And were all by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. I don't want to discourage you this morning, but there's not much to you. You know that? I'm sad. I don't want to burst your bubble. But I mean, there's just not much to you. Now, for you young folks that are here, don't go away from here and say, Brother Ricky said, I'm just as low down. Well, let me tell you something. Let's boil it down, get down to brass tacks with it, all right? The very best you can do, you're not much on your own, but I want to tell you that in Christ, you're something and somebody. I used to get on my Armenian friends for saying that the Lord was a personal Savior. But you know, Tim, the older I get and the further I go, I'm convinced that that's just what he is, a personal Savior. He does something for you personally. Our experience is not alike. He brings us into a standing, a life and standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, literally and personally. But you know, there is a class of people in this word, a world that cannot hear his word. Now, if you doubt that, I'm going to read you some red writing. From John chapter 8 and verse 43, Jesus asked that group of people they were talking about, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Cannot. Didn't say you will not. Didn't say you may not. Said ye cannot hear my word. Followers of Mr. Campbell try hard to prove that there was no work of the Holy Spirit before the day of Pentecost. I want to tell you right now, my friend, the Lord born Abraham again just like he born you again. Amen. You hear? The Lord never has had to take two ways of salvation and make it work. Amen. You see what I'm saying? There was a work that was going on. We just have a plainer view on this side of the resurrection. Jesus, or David, writes and records this in Psalm 65 and 4, when he said, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee." You know what they said about Joseph in the Old Testament? "Where shall we find a man such as Joseph in whom the Spirit of God is?" And I can give you some more, but I'll not belabor that point. The only thing I'm saying to you is that the Lord born those characters of faith. They were in possession of faith, and faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And if they had faith, they were first in possession of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Amen. So as they themselves were in possession of the Spirit of God, it's an evident fact that the work of God was going on back there. Amen. "And you hath he quickened." The word "quicken" only had two meanings. One is to impart life, the other is to quicken the motion of life. It only has two meanings. Impart life, "you hath he quickened." You know what David said? "Lord, quicken me." That is to quicken the motion of life. And you know what our prayer ought to be? "Lord, quicken me. Quicken me. Quicken the motion of life that is there. Quicken me." Oh, I can pray for the world. I can pray for those who I desire to pray for. But I want you to understand today, I can't pray enough and I can't pay enough to get somebody born again. But I'll tell you one thing. When the Lord does that, when the Lord does that, there's a difference made. I've heard some of my own brethren try to tell me that there wasn't any difference in a man after he was born again than there were before he was born again. But I want to tell you, there's a difference made. There's a difference made. You know, the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and I got 6 minutes, the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Do you know what? The Lord spoke directly and immediately to that man. And you know what? He never forgot that experience, did he? From that point till this, he went from a persecutor to a preacher. Oh, what a change. From a persecutor to a preacher. He never forgot that. You know what he went on over there and said? He said, "They that were with me, they indeed saw the light, but heard not the voice that spake unto me." I affirm to you today that the Lord spoke directly, independently to Paul. There wasn't anybody there. Now, Paul, you read this track. Here's your track. If you'll read this track, everything's going to be all right. You'll successfully outrun the devil till you die. Let me tell you right now that the Lord doesn't need a track. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need your microphone, money, or machinery. He doesn't need the church. But sometime, as he always has, he is going to bring those whom he has chosen in Christ from a dead state in sin to a life in standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself calls it a raising up. Amen. John chapter 5 and verse 24. "As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so." You know what that is? I said this somewhere. I might have said it the other day. That is a comparative connective. Don't that do something for you? Even so, the way he does one's the way he does the other. That's what he's saying. So it takes the same power to quicken a dead sinner into divine life as it will to get him out of the grave on the resurrection day. Now, fellas, I want to tell you one thing. If you're here today and you believe it's going to take the preacher to get a man born again, you better have him out yonder at the cemetery on the resurrection day. Because it's going to take the same power to get him out of the grave as it did to born him again. Same one. That's right. And I'm telling you today that the gospel is good for what God gave it for. The gospel is a wonderful message. It tells us of God's sovereignty over all things. I don't care what it is. I'll tell you right now that these folks that tell me about a half-hearted God that tries to save a sinner and he can't. These folks that tell me that he's doing the best he can. He's having a difficult time. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you right now, Primitive Baptists don't believe that. I don't believe that, and no judicious Bible reader believes that. But I'll tell you this, when our Lord calls in the voice of the Lord himself, there is a power that is embodied in that voice that is designed to complete the action that God intends. I don't care whether he's in the jungles of darkest Africa. I don't care who he is, where he is. God does that. I never forget one time I was preaching down in Louisiana. Down south Louisiana. And after 51 years of preaching, I've tried to remember a lot of things. And I've learned I forget more than I need to remember. But I was preaching down in Louisiana. Jonesboro, Louisiana. I was in the home of Elder L.C. Schwanner. You didn't remember him, but I do. Great preacher. And I was preaching at the school building in Jonesboro, Louisiana. And one night, I preached along this line. There's an old colored lady sitting in the back of the house. And after it was over with, she wouldn't come around in the handshake to shake hands. But here's what she said. She said, "Brother Ricky," said, "I enjoyed your preaching." She said, "Can I tell you my experience?" And I said, "You sure can." She said, "I remember when I was a little girl and I was chopping cotton in the Pearl River bottom and the Lord struck me down and showed me what I was in a cotton middle." And she said, "You know, every once in a while in my mind, I go back down to that cotton middle." And I want to tell you something, brethren. We better remember. That's what the gospel tells us, to remember. Remember, remember. You know, I can't remember when I didn't love the Lord. I can't remember when I didn't love to hear the songs of Zion. I can't remember when I didn't love the gospel. I'd love the Lord and love the Lord Jesus Christ. But I remember the very day when the gospel made sense to me. And sometimes I like to go back down there. I like to go back and remember when the gospel made sense to me. And I'll tell you, that's when I experience. That's when that experience I call to mind. That's our experience. And when you, as God's people, come together, it's good for us to experience again and again and again what we've known, to be renewed and revived. You know, I'm not afraid of that word, revival. Thank God we need one, don't we? We need one. That's the truth. I was going to Texas week before last, and I was on the airplane, caught it in Birmingham, flew to Dallas. There's a fellow out there, and he said, "Oh, I know all about you, Primitive Baptist." He said, I was sitting by him. He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Fort Worth to preach a meeting." He said, "I know all about you, old Baptist." He said, y'all foot washers, aren't you?" That's as much as he knew about Primitive Baptist. I said, and he proved that. Yeah, I said, "We sure are." I said, "I'm glad to know you know something about Primitive Baptist." And you know, we talked a few minutes, and he said, "Well, I listen." He said, "I'm glad to talk to you, and I hope you have a good meeting, and I hope you win many souls for the Lord while you're here." You know, that just proved to me he didn't know much about Primitive Baptist. You know, I mean, he knew about foot washing, but he didn't know much about Primitive. Let me tell you right now, ever so, you know, he that winneth souls is wise. Now, you know, I'm not afraid of winning souls. You know, I've won a few in my time. I hoped I have, and I know that you all have. You know, that doesn't mean that we're saving them for heaven, but I'll tell you what it does mean. We've won them or brought them out of bondage into something that they can experience and never forget. That's what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you, I'm going to settle my case right there. It's time to quit. Amen. Thank y'all for letting me come today. I appreciate it, Brother Tim.